Grace and peace to you from our Lord Jesus Christ. I'll be preaching today from the Gospel reading, Luke chapter 5, 1 to 11. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Perhaps some of you in your professional lives were involved in the work of recruitment, writing up job specs as to what is required, identifying talent, sifting through resumes, conducting interviews. Perhaps others of you are more familiar with the other side of the equation, applying for jobs, going to interviews, trying to work out what employers want. In our Pew Bible, the heading for this text is Jesus calls his first disciples. Jesus is, in a sense, in recruitment mode here. He's selecting those people who are to be with him for the next several years' ministry and who will travel a difficult path with him. And so as employers look for certain characteristics in candidates, here in this text, we learn something about the characteristics of a Christian disciple. The characteristics of a Christian disciple. And we see that Jesus is looking for different things than what we may look for in the world. We see, too, that Jesus is looking not just for characteristics that are already there, but he's looking to impart these things to the ones he chooses. We'll see first that a Christian disciple has complete trust in Jesus in all of life. We'll see next that a Christian disciple acknowledges his or her unworthiness. And we'll see finally that a Christian disciple is focused on the catching of people. So, first, one of the defining characteristics of a disciple is complete trust in Jesus in all of life. But let's make it even a bit more specific than that. We can say that a characteristic of a disciple here is to trust in Christ even in the aspects of life where we think we know better. Let me say that again. Trusting in Christ even in the aspects of life where we think we know better. Let's see first how this shows up in the text. So Simon, Peter, James and John, they are of course fishermen. And they seem to have a reasonably good fishing business going. They have their own boats, they have their own nets, they seem to be doing well. But not on this particular night, of course. On this particular night, they haven't had much luck in their fishing expeditions. And so Jesus comes up to Simon, and they're cleaning their nets, they've finished for the night, it hasn't gone well, and Jesus has the audacity to say, "Put out into the deep water, let down your nets for a catch." This is when Simon responds, "Master, we have worked all night long and have caught nothing." Can't you just connect with the emotions of Simon at that point? It's like you spend a whole morning trying to figure out some problem. You've tried everything and you have a well-meaning friend who comes along and says, "Oh, did you try just plugging it in, or did you make sure it's turned on?" And it's quite frustrating, isn't it? You say, "Of course I've tried that and 100 other things." And it's even more frustrating when they're right, isn't it? Notice here, Jesus the carpenter is giving fishing advice to fishermen because he's not just a carpenter. But these guys, they knew what they were doing. They knew that you don't catch the fish mainly in the deep water. You do it in the more shallow water. You don't catch the fish mainly in the day. You catch them mainly at night. And so what's remarkable is that Simon Peter is willing to trust Jesus at his word. He says, "If you say so, I will let down the nets."
and it works.
It's a miracle. So many fish, the nets begin to break, the boats begin to sink. Do you see how this shows that to be a disciple of Jesus is to trust in him, even in the aspects of life where we think we know better? There really is something important here. It is one thing for people to hear the gospel of the forgiveness of sins, the gift of eternal life that is offered, and to trust in Christ for that. It is another thing to trust in him in all of life. Let's just think of a couple of examples for us. One that has occurred to me in my own life is how we deal with money. Jesus in the gospel, just one chapter after this event, says things like this: give to everyone who begs from you. Lend, expecting nothing in return. In Matthew's gospel, he says, do not store up treasures on earth where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal. In other words, when it comes to money, Jesus' teaching tends towards a radical generosity towards those in need and having a very light grip on the things of this world. But aren't we tempted to think, thank you, Jesus, for the forgiveness of sins, but let me take care of the finance side of things? After all, I know how the economy and the stock market work. I think I've got that covered. But a disciple of Jesus trusts in him even when we think we know better. Now, don't hear me wrong. Jesus' teaching does not prohibit us from thinking wisely about the future and having bank accounts and shares and all of that. But it does call us to consider how our Christian faith and hearing his word affects the way we deal even with our finances. Another example could be how we as the church carry out our work in the world. Jesus tells us, go out and preach the good news, baptize, teach them to observe everything I have commanded. Again, we're tempted to think otherwise. We're tempted to think, I don't know if that'll work, Jesus, in our modern world. Maybe it'll work better if I just teach them some things that you command and leave some of the more difficult stuff aside. But once again, a disciple trusts in Christ in all of life, even where we think we know better. The second characteristic here is that a disciple acknowledges his or her unworthiness to be a disciple. How does Simon Peter react to this wonderful miracle? He freaks out, in modern parlance. He falls down before Jesus, probably among a pile of fish, mind you, and he says, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. What is going on here? What sort of reaction is this? Well, Simon Peter realizes. He realizes immediately that the only one who could do something like this is God himself. He realizes that in some sense he is in the presence of the Holy One, the Holy God in heaven. And Peter knows that as a sinful person, it is as the writer to the Hebrews says, that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Simon Peter knows his scriptures, and so he simply responds like Abraham and Moses and Isaiah and the shepherds in the field. He responds with a holy fear. He responds by acknowledging his unworthiness even to be in the presence of Jesus, let alone to be his disciple. Isn't this a bit different from how it works in the world? We don't want our candidates at job interviews telling us how unworthy they are for the job and begging us to go away from them. There's something very different here. this sort of spiritual realism, this humility, this is at the heart of what it is to be a Christian disciple. Yet this reaction is still a bit difficult for us to understand, isn't it? Perhaps it points to one dimension of the Christian life that we are a little bit out of step with as modern people. Namely, the proper awe and reverence for being in the presence of our holy God. Another commentator offers a slightly different explanation. He says that one reason why it is hard for us to understand the reaction of Peter is that we ourselves, in our own hearts and consciences, have perhaps never come to anything like Peter's realization of our utter sinfulness. We're too liable to stand forth in the temple like the Pharisee, rather than far back, crushed in our bosom like the tax collector. How about for you? Have you ever come to that deep realization he talks about of your utter sinfulness? It's interesting to me that sometimes it is people, in my experience, outside the church who realize this more clearly than those on the inside. I've stood outside the front there when people have walked by and chatted to them and invited them to church. And they make those common jokes many of you have heard about not wanting to come inside lest the roof fall in. It's because of texts like these I've learnt not to brush those jokes aside just too lightly, because it's something like what Peter says here. A realization of the true depth of our sinfulness can cause us to even fear the Lord's presence. The people who make those jokes are half right. But what they're missing, of course, what they're missing is the good news of what God does for us in Christ Jesus. The good news for Peter, the good news for us, is that Jesus has not come to bring God's fiery judgment, but God's fiery love. He has not come to instill fear, but to remove fear. That's why he says to Peter, "Do not be afraid." If this was Peter's confession, that is Jesus' absolution. As it is for you this very day. If you have realized the true depth of your sin, if you even sometimes fear the presence of your holy God, Jesus says, do not be afraid. Your sins are forgiven. That's what Jesus has come to do. The one who here teaches is the one who goes to the cross for you and rises again from the dead. And the characteristic then of a Christian disciple is not one who has it all together, not one with the perfect life resume, it's the one who confesses sin and receives forgiveness. It's the one who acknowledges their unworthiness, but is found worthy in Christ. The final characteristic of a Christian disciple here is to have a focus on the catching of people. Jesus says, do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people. From fishermen to fishers of men, in the old language. To follow the Lord Jesus as a disciple is not a private affair. It is a path which is first always traveled with fellow disciples, and it is a path which is always open and looking for how God is catching more people into the net of his kingdom. What does this look like for us practically today? Well, Jesus here uses the metaphor of fishing for describing God's work in the world. So allow me to stretch this picture a little bit further. One of the things I've noticed about people who love fishing, and there's a few of you here in this congregation, is that they are always looking for an opportunity to go. For those who are really into their fishing, at some level it's always on their mind, isn't it? They're checking the weather, they're checking the tides, they're thinking about that next free day when they can get out on the jetty or on the boat. They're looking at getting a new rod or a new gadget. Fishing is a part of their life. I think this is not a bad way to extend Jesus' metaphor. To think about the call of the disciple to be those who fish for people. That we do not think of this as merely another task on our Christian to-do list, but we think about it as a mindset, as an attitude, just like it is for people who love fishing. That our whole way of life as Christian disciples, as a Christian congregation, is one where we are always on the lookout for God's catching of people. Being aware, being alert to the opportunities God provides. Aware and alert in our families, in our workplace, in our street, in our social circles, always looking for that person God may bring across our path who He may be trying to catch for His kingdom. So that when someone asks us about our church or about our faith, we are ready to give an answer for the hope that is in us. You'll be surprised at what God may do with our little fishing efforts. This mindset, this applies to us as a whole congregation. In all our activities, in the decisions we make about the future, as we plan events, we are always asking ourselves, how might God use this as an opportunity to catch people for Himself? Christian disciples have a people-catching focus. So there's some of what we learn about the characteristics of those Jesus calls to be His disciples. A disciple trusts in Christ, even and especially in those areas of life where we think we know better. A disciple acknowledges his or her unworthiness, but even more receives the gracious word of pardon and peace. Do not be afraid. A disciple is ready to be part of God's ongoing work in the world of catching people for Himself. God grant it to us for Jesus' sake. Amen.